But if you would, he would say, get off all your knees and drink from the source of living water, something that will really satisfy. See, there's nothing wrong with being thirsty. The fact that we know there's something more shows that's an apologetic that God is there. The real issue is we try to drink from the wrong source. We drink from a broken cistern instead of drinking from the source of eternal life. So being thirsty isn't wrong. We're all thirsty. The real thing is drink from the right source. But God loves you enough, he'll protect your right to drink from a mud puddle if you seek to do so. I encourage you not to. Don't love the world or the things in the world. James 4:4 says this, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility for God? Notice what he says, you adulteresses. You're committing adultery. What is adultery? It's when you're married to someone who you've promised fidelity to, and you're cheating on her or him with another person whom you're not married to. That is adultery. It's wrong. It's against God's morals and God's principles for marriage. God calls these people who are in bed with the world, even though they profess to be Christians, an adulteress. You adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? If you just want to be liked by the world, you want to be a part of the world system, you are sleeping in the wrong bed. You are partnering up with the wrong source. Why don't you repent? That's what it's going to take. See, if you're more concerned with what the world thinks about you than what Jesus thinks about you, I can't really help you. But if you're here saying, God, I know your word is true, and I know one day I'll stand before you and give an account, I'm not going to let the fear of man keep me from doing what's right just because I'm worried about my stupid little reputation and what other people think about me. God, I'm going to stand up and be a man of God. God, I'm going to stand up and be a woman of God. I'm going to get my life lined up aright, and then hopefully I'll have enough courage and boldness to be able to tell other people the truth and change their eternal destiny. Yeah. People are watching you. It's not so much what you say, it's how you live. And I'm praying to God that your words are matching your lifestyle. I'm praying to God your lifestyle is matching what's coming out of your mouth. Yeah. That's my hope. That's the prayer for me. Yeah. Colossians 2:8 says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Well, you can still be a Christian, and there's so many religions, and who are we to judge all? Let me tell you, that's a worldly philosophy. That's pluralism. That's relativism. Jesus made some statements that if he is God, they're either true, they're universally true, they're universal negatives. No one can come to the Father except through me. Guess what? That means there is no other way. If Jesus lied to us about that, we can't trust him about anything else. So Jesus is not just a good moral teacher. He's not just a good prophet. If he lied to us, he's a liar and he's not a good prophet. Yeah. So you can't have it both ways. Yeah. Is he telling the truth? If he is, do what he says. Yeah. No one can come follow me. No one. I'm the only way. Yeah. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is no other name given us under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either he's telling us the truth or he's lying to us. You be the judge. If Jesus is the only way, he's the only way. Well, that's kind of narrow, Pastor Ken. It'll just have to be narrow. It'll just have to be narrow. Let me ask you a question. How many know narrow is good? If the fire marshal came in here and the building was on fire, and the fire marshal came in and said, there is one exit open in the back. All the other exits are covered with flames. Follow me out to safety. How many would say, well, fire marshal, how come these exits? Why can't I try these ones? Why do I have to go with the one you say is the only one? Hello, I'm a fire marshal. No one would argue that. They would follow the man. Why? Because he has knowledge and authority to speak exclusive truth. And if you're smart, you will apprehend and obey what he spoke. That's the culture we're living in. Don't let the world system, don't let these philosophies and concepts of men fool you, because they're all just rational ways of getting out of responsibility and accountability to God. Man hates God. You know why? Because God says, I'm a cosmic authority, and you have to do what I tell you to do. And we hate it. You know why? We want to be our own gods. We want to call our own shots. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And God says, if you come into my kingdom, all that changes. I become God.
Amen.
You eat what you eat what I give you. You do what I tell you.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm God, and I know the truth. Don't be captive. Don't be captive. And I've seen a lot of people get captivated. They become captured by the philosophy of the age. They believe there is a God, and they believe Jesus died on the cross, but they get sucked into this captivity, and they can't get out. What are the captivities? One, three deadly seeds, I call them. One is compromise. You just compromise a little bit. Yeah, well, it's okay if I look at a little bit of porn. It's okay if I go out and drink with a few people. You know, I'm befriending. It's okay if I'm at a party and they're smoking weed, as long as I don't smoke and I don't condemn them. I really want them to like me. Maybe if they like me enough, then they'll come to my church because I'm not a weed smoker or I don't get drunk like I used to, and I'm just nice and non-judgmental. Lots of luck with that. Compromise. Number two is conformity. All of a sudden, we compromise in our convictions. All of a sudden, the things that we're doing, we start conforming to the ways of the world. We got to start conforming to the fallen culture around us. I've talked to people, and they've looked at me, and they said, I was raised in church. I can't believe I've fallen so far since I came to university. I'm doing things that I would never do. I've talked to my wife and I, we've counseled with young. They said, we're doing things that... We know this is wrong. We're doing things. We said only hookers and prostitutes do this. I'm doing the very same things I judge people for. All of a sudden, you start to conform. And then finally, captivity. Now, see, captivity is a nice word, but the problem with captivity is once you're captured, you can't get out. It's not like, well, I can get a key and I'll figure my way out. No. Captivity means you don't have any ability to exercise yourself from the captivity. You can't expunge the situation. You're captured. You're caught. And some people who are really captured are the ones who don't think there's a thing called captivity. The very thing that they think they're free, they're captured in. I've talked to people all the time, and they tell me, oh, well, I can give up smoking weed, and I can give up sleeping with my girlfriend. I can give up anytime I want to. I said, why don't you do it? Well, I don't really want to. You're captured. You're delusional. And see, people don't realize that, but that's how it works. Compromise, conformity, and captivity. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. You know what God wants to do? He wants to remove the fear of man off our lives. He wants us to take away the fear of fitting in and being conforming to this world and be transformed by the truth. Can I tell you something? The Bible says the truth will set you free. Listen to me. The truth will set you free. But before it sets you free, it makes you miserable. It's true. I know this is right, but I don't know if I can break up with Rowena. You know, Mookie's got that fine ride. I'm not sure. You're kind of contemplating, what do I have to give up? What do I have to trade on this altar for freedom? Everything.
Yes.
What do I have? You say that again, Pastor Kim. Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
What you think, feel, and want, everything that's precious to you. You put it on the altar, say, Jesus, you are Lord.
Yes.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing.
Lord of all,
yes.
Master of the universe,
yes.
God of my heart,
yes.
You call the shots, I don't.
Yes.
Take your place on the throne of my heart.
Yes.
That's Christianity.
Yes.
And the reason Christianity isn't working in the Deep South is people are playing church games. They haven't gone to God and made him God. They've made God their little assistant, their little valet to bless them and help them get the right date or help them get a good car or help them graduate on time without bad grades. And God's their little valet, their little butler. Let me tell you, he doesn't work that way. He is God of the universe.
Yes.
And until we realize that we're afraid of what people think, we're afraid of what the culture says, we're willing to repent of the fear of man and the fear of people's impression of us, we will stay captive. We'll stay captive. 1980, long time ago, stood up on that park bench in Tennessee, University of Tennessee Tech. I got set free. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. He took that noose from around my neck. I've been free ever since, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad God came and heard my prayer, took away my fears. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and He will provide a way for you. Some of you are here, and I want to tell you, you have got the fear of man on your life. You're more concerned with what people think on Facebook than you are with what God thinks. That's a problem. But there's a voice yelling at you right now in your own spirit, in your own soul, saying, stop. Don't run out in the road anymore. Stop. Why? Disobedience equals pain. God doesn't want you to have to go through that pain. But if you keep running across the street unaware, you're going to get hurt really bad in this life. Some of you here need to be set free. Some of you here are captive and you don't even know it. Some of you have got a noose around your neck so thick, you're worried about your reputation, you're worried about what people think. That's the fear of man. If you will ask God, He will cut that fear off your life, and you can know what it is to really have peace. You can know what it is to really have confidence. And I won't have to tell you to go tell others about Jesus. You'll do it on your own. Amen. You guys know Zoe. I don't know where she's at today, but her fan club is here today. But Zoe was in a fraternity here, and I'll end with this. Sorority, excuse me. Zoe was in a sorority, and she was very popular. She got along with all the sisters because she was a friendly, nice, outgoing, kind of friendly partier. All of a sudden, she got born again and saved, and Ashley Dew started discipling her, and there was a change in her life. She got water baptized. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. She went back and started telling her sisters that I can't smoke weed anymore, I can't party anymore, I can't do the things that we were doing in our sorority. And all of a sudden, they did what most people would do. They shunned her. They rejected her and said, well, you know, started talking bad about her, saying, you know, she's gotten religion now. She's got this Jesus thing going. And people were avoiding her. Lo and behold, she had an eye problem where she couldn't see peripherally out of her eyes. She could only see as if she was looking through two straws straight ahead. She came to a meeting where I believe Ashley and Abigail and some of the girls prayed for her, and God instantly healed her eyesight. Now she can see again. She had to go outside, and she was looking up at the sky, and she saw this thing shining in the sky. She says, come here, what is that? So they said, that's the moon. She had never seen the moon before in her entire life. She stayed up at night looking in the mirror. Said, I can see, I got freckles. I can see again. I can see. She goes, God, everybody needs to know about this God. Everybody needs to know about this Jesus. So she goes back to her sorority. She didn't know anything. She didn't know any scripture. She hadn't gone to seminary. She didn't know the difference between Genesis and Revelation. She didn't know nothing. All she did is said, Jesus healed my eyesight. I can see. And started telling the testimony. She prayed a prayer that God could heal you. The Jesus that died on the cross is not on the cross. He's in heaven, and He hears your prayers. He healed me. I can see. I can see the moon. I can see my face now. God touched me. You know what they said? Will you be our chaplain and lead us? She wasn't quoting scripture. She wasn't inviting him to church. She was saying, God touched me. I'm changed. I'm different. I'm healed. God is real, and I'm living proof that He's real. Wow. You don't need a Bible verse. You don't need a seminary degree. All you need is a testimony. All you need is an encounter. All you need to know is there is a God. And He's saying, stop, my darling. Stop, my son. You're going to get killed. You're going to get hurt. Stop. Take that noose off your neck. Stop fearing people. Stop playing religious games. And let Jesus be your Lord. Become a real Christian. Quit playing church games. Repent. Make him master. And your life will change remarkably. Bow your heads with me. Thank you, Father. Lord, you said the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord, you'll exalt him. God, I'm praying this day, right now, in this room and those viewing online that are ensnared, they're captive, that you would set the captive free. I'm praying, Jesus, that you would touch their heart. Let them see their condition and let them be able to say, yes, God, help me. It's me. I'm the one that needs help. You're here today, and that's you. There's a snare around your neck. You're worried about what people think. You're so consumed with the fear of man. You're just so concerned with the opinions of others that it has totally captivated your life. You're so concerned that you can't even listen to God and obey God. If you've got that noose around your neck and you say, Pastor Ken, I want that off my neck tonight, off my neck today, I'm going to pray, and I believe God will answer my prayer. If that's you and you say, that's me, I'm dealing with the fear of man. I'm dealing with the fear of man. Cut that noose away from my neck. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Just stand up. Stand up. If you can't stand, if you're worried about what people think, that's a sign that you have the fear of man. Stand up. There's several more that need to be standing. If you can't stand in here, my friend, you'll never stand outside these four walls. People in here are for you. They want you to get victory. They want you to get set free. You got to stand. You got to make a stand somewhere, sometime. Few more that need to be standing. I want this noose from around my neck. I'm tired of walking and laboring under the fear of man. I want to be God's agent, and I want to be someone who's proactive with my Christianity. Anyone else? Just a few more seconds. Yes. There's two more. There's two more in here you need to stand. Yeah. Those people who are standing, I want you to come forward right now. Come forward, if you would, right now. Just come forward. Please come forward. As these people are coming forward, I want everybody else who is out in the audience, please stand up with us. And just extend your hand out to these precious people who've come forward. And these people who've come forward, I want you to say these words out of your mouth. Say, Jesus, I've been scared. I've been afraid. I've been worried about what people think about me. I'm tired of it. I don't want to live for the opinions of others. I don't want to live for what people think about me. I want to live for you, God. Give me the power and give me the grace to be your servant. I ask you right now to take this fear from around my neck, this noose, this fear of man, and cut it loose from around my neck. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you died for me to set me free from every fear, from every worry, from every anxiety. And because you did that, I thank you. You're going to hear my prayer today. Lord, I thank you for all these people who've come up today. And we ask you right now in Jesus' name just to set each one of them free in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, you said if we would confess our sin and we repent, that you would hear from heaven and heal us. I thank you that you're healing these people, Lord, and that you said you would deliver us from all of our fears. I thank you. You're delivering us from all of our fears. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take, like there's an imaginary noose. I want you to take it. I want you to pull it off your head and throw it down on the ground. Just take it off and say, fear be gone in Jesus' name. Just say it. Fear be gone. Fear be gone. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I'm not going to worry about the future. I'm not going to worry about people's opinions. I'm going to be concerned with you, God, and what you think. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for your spirit to deliver us. Lord, let us be a bold people. Let us be a bold people, God, who can tell the truth because you've changed our life. We've had an encounter with the living God. We can't deny it. And because of that, Lord, we have to speak. Thank you for this moment. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a great praise. Come on. Now, here's what I want you guys to do. You're standing up here. If our ministry team would come forward, please. I want you to make sure you get with someone you know, a mature Christian in this church, and say, here's what I was dealing with. Here's what I was grappling with. Here's what was captivating me. And they'll pray with you, and we'll get you in a Bible study to help you. So get with someone. And if you know these people up here and you're working with them, please come and get them, get their details. You guys set up a time because we are going to take this gospel all over Tallahassee and to the entire world. Why? Because it's true and people need to hear it. Amen? Let's give God another hand. God bless you. Those who are viewing online, we want to invite you to call if you need more materials or you'd like someone to follow you up in this regard. We'd love to pray with you regarding overcoming fear and making your Christianity count. So please call the number or you can email us at our website here in Tallahassee. And we thank you for joining us. Let's bow our heads and we're going to be dismissed in victory. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray a blessing over all these people. Father, let this Thanksgiving be the best Thanksgiving we've all had, individually as well as corporately. So, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, and to your name we give the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.